introduce myself. My name is Mark Noel, and I am the chair of the District Education Council. I am in sub-district 13.
Maybe.
Okay, last time I said it wrong. Anyway, out of Oromocto, and we're just going to, first of all, welcome all the deck members that have come to be here. We want them to each stand and tell you their name and what area they represent.
My name is David Bowen. I'm sub-district 6, which is half of the south side of Frederick.
John Smith, sub-district 3, which is West Dock here.
Elizabeth Mason, sub-district 12, encompasses Lincoln, Gary, Burton, Summery West, and Gageman.
John Gould, sub-district 11, which is Greater Grand Lake Area, Chipman, Middle, Coles Island, and Cambridge Downs.
Kimberly Douglas, sub-district 12, Doaktown, Boystown, Stanley, and Nashville Valley.
Ron Hatt, Nashboxes Schools, that's on the north side of Frederick, and plus the Nashboxes Schools, also Kensett Bridge.
Awesome. Ian O'Corey, sub-district 5, which would be
Jean Chaw.
Home.
I was. Miriam Grant, sub-district 4, Canterbury, Millville, Nackwick, and Kensett Valley.
Sheila Gallagher, 1. Edmondson, Brown Falls, Clostral, and currently in Millville.
Jane Buckley, the other half of the north side of Frederick. The better half. My glasses on my job.
Terry Pond, newly appointed, and I am sub-district 7, New Maryland, and the other half of the south side of Frederick.
Hey, good evening, everyone. My name is David McTimity, and I'm the superintendent for the Anglicone West School District. And as superintendent, this board, this District Education Council, is my employer, and I'm pleased to be here this evening to host what we call public meeting number 1B. Some of you went to public meeting number 1A next door, perhaps, and I'll talk a little bit about how we got to 1B in a moment. Before we go any further, perhaps I'll introduce a few other people. I'll ask members of the district staff to stand. I think I have a few of them. Carol is a wonderful assistant to the superintendent, Carol Clark Caterini. I see we have three directors here this evening. Jay Kolkitz is the director of schools for the Woodstock Education Center. Sean Tracy is the director of finance and administration. And Catherine Blaney is the director of education support services. I'd like to also acknowledge the principal of Bath Elementary, Lisa McBride. Lisa and many teachers and staff here tonight. Welcome to you. Thank you for coming. Gerald, I didn't see Gerald. Oh, there's Gerald right there. Didn't look very far, did I? Yes. Thank you, Gerald, for coming tonight. I heard from your member of the Legislative Assembly, Mr. Andrew Harvey, and he said he's going to be here before the end of the meeting, so we'll acknowledge him when he comes in. I've been watching for Troy Stone. I don't think I've seen Troy yet, but I know Charles McNair is here. Certainly representative of the Village of Bath. So, with those introductions, I'll get started and talk a little bit about why we're here tonight. We are currently in the middle of what's called a sustainability study, and it's a process that falls under Provincial Policy 409, which is called the Multi-Year School Infrastructure Planning Policy. And it's a sustainability study is a process that a District Education Council takes part in to review the sustainability of schools and or a community of schools. The sustainability study has an outline or a template, so to speak, that's outlined in Policy 409, where there needs to be three public meetings. The first public meeting is designed to interpretation of facts. And in fact, in policy 409, there's a part of the policy that outlines some ideas of what those facts should be. The second public meeting is a, and when we talk about the first public meeting, a presentation of facts, it would normally be district staff that presents. So I'll represent the district staff. I know that I have some great colleagues here that will step in. In fact, I haven't been feeling all the greatest, so I've told Jay and Sean that if my voice should go, they'll come to the mic and take over. Jay would do all the educational stuff, and Sean would do all the business stuff, but we'll see how far I can make it. But it's basically a presentation of staff. Not only am I presenting to you as the public, but I'm also presenting to the District Education Council that has a very important decision to make in another month's time. In a couple of months, I should say. The District Education Council will need to make a decision at the end of this study. They have one of three choices that they can make. They can vote to maintain the status quo. They can vote to make a recommendation to the Minister of Education to invest in staffing, in programming, and infrastructure. And they can vote to make a recommendation to the Minister of Education to close a school. You'll notice that in two of those cases, it was make a recommendation to the minister. And that's because once a decision is made by the vote, and they'll by the DEC, and they'll vote on that in public on April 23rd, then the minister has to review the process that unfolded. And according to the policy, if the minister is comfortable with the process of the sustainability study, then he is supposed to approve the recommendation of the council. So it's a review of process. And for two of those, the minister does have the final say, because if there's a feeling that the process wasn't appropriate, then he could certainly overrule the decision of the DEC and give further direction. Of course, if it's status quo, then it doesn't go to the minister. We'd likely write him a letter to say our study is over and nothing would change. In this particular situation, we've broadened the scope of the sustainability study to include Bath Elementary School. What we found as the study began, and maybe some of you were at the meeting next door in December, and in fact you'll see tonight models the meeting that we had from that date. As we got into the study, it became clear that if the DEC were to vote in favor of school closure, then there were two options to consider. One would be to move the middle level students to Florenceville Middle School, and one would be to create a K-8 school with the neighbors here next door. What we found as we continued to look into this is an interpretation of the policy would say, all right, if you decide to close a school, say if you decide to close Bath Middle School, and if you decide to create a K-8 school, then according to the study you're doing right now, you couldn't take Bath Elementary kids and move them over to the middle school, because what you would really be doing is closing Bath Elementary School and not Bath Middle School. So it's a little bit of a technicality. So after discussion with the DEC, and to keep all the options on the table and not limit their discussions, their conversations about what should occur, the decision was made to broaden the scope of the study, and that was made by a motion that was passed at a public DEC meeting on January 22nd. So we communicated that, and here we are today to have the second public meeting number one, or in other words, the second presentation of facts. The public meeting number two, where stakeholders and the community has the opportunity to present to the DEC, that's a meeting where you don't hear from me. I'll be sitting back with my colleagues and I'll be listening, but stakeholders will present to the council on their thoughts on the sustainability of the of these schools. That is scheduled now for Thursday, March 26th. And we feel that one meeting is appropriate, that there isn't necessarily a need to have public meeting 2A and then turn around and hear public meeting 2B. The feeling was that that one public meeting would be sufficient. So that's scheduled for March 26th. The third meeting is a meeting where, in public, the DEC votes on the conclusion of the study. And that that is currently scheduled for April 23rd. That meeting occurs at a regular public DEC meeting. At the beginning of the year, the DEC mapped out a schedule of those meetings, in particular the locations, in their attempt to see the different schools around our district. On April 23rd, the meeting is scheduled for St. Mary's Academy in Edmundston. And at this time, the meeting will remain at the St. Mary's Academy in Edmundston, but we will work so that we will work it so that if you are interested in watching that meeting, you'll find a way to stream it. I don't know the right words, but we'll find a way so that you could come to a place like this or next door to watch the meeting unfold. So that's just a quick snapshot as to where we are. As I go through, I'm probably going to end up seeing that I mentioned a lot of things on the next couple of slides. So provincial policy 409, the responsibilities regarding facilities in our system. There are specific sections within that policy related to sustainability studies. I described the three public meetings. I feel quite fortunate with our experience so far at Angle Home West, and we're engaged in three sustainability studies here in the village of Bath, as well as the village of Stanley and the community of Coles Island. I think it's important to note that this process isn't designed to be an us against them. So it's not the DEC here saying we're closing the school and the DEC and me trying to convince you that it's the right thing to do. It's a presentation of facts. It's a true study that allows me as a superintendent to present a bunch of data as community members and stakeholders to present thoughts from a community and parent perspective to the council so that they can make a conclusion on what should happen. So I think by keeping that that philosophy in mind, I'm finding that we're not getting really distracted in debates and back and forth, because if people are trying to challenge me to defend school closure, it's not my role to defend school closure or to promote school closure. My role is to promote information and to provide information. And I know that after the two public meetings are finished and this group of individuals sit down with coffee and potato chips, I'm guessing some Saturday or Thursday night, going to work away at organizing all the information they've heard. They'll probably all guard me with questions. I'll probably have Sean and his team, and Jay and his team going to check things out so that we can inform the DEC as much as possible so that they can make a responsible decision. And then, of course, three possible outcomes that I've mentioned already. So, if you're familiar with what happened next door in December, you probably see a lot of similarities. In fact, some of the slides will be the same when we talk about community. We've gone back and we reviewed information and we tried to tweak it and engage some other people. So we'll work our way through it. At the end, if you have some questions, I'm happy to answer them. I've already started answering some questions. The biggest one was $10,000. What do you mean it'll only take $10,000 to move next door? And I'm happy to explain that. And I'll probably do that up front to avoid 10 people coming to the line. We'll work our way through that and then try and answer your questions here. So enrollment. This is a look at your enrollment.
three students over the course of the last 5 years, pretty stable enrollment. By the way, this presentation is available on our website. We'll probably post it tomorrow. So it's available to you, as are a number of other documents, and I can talk about that a little bit later. This is another look at the enrollments, and it's by grade level. You can see here in the year 2014, one of the bigger classes in history is going to move on to the middle level. It's, there are 32 kids in grade 5, two classes of 16. When we try to project enrollment, it's kind of hard to do. There's not an exact science. Gina from our staff tried to help me do this. There's a lot of assumptions, like moving the grade levels forward to the next grade level and assuming that nobody will leave, and actually over the last 5 years it shows pretty steady enrollment, so that's fair to say. We try to do it that way to project the enrollment in kindergarten, and because of that stability that we've seen over the last 5 years, our projections show some stability as well here in the elementary school. Again, it's not an exact science. You can see the dip here in 2015 next year, and that's because of the bigger class moving on. Functional capacity is a term that catches the attention of a lot of people, the media included. Functional capacity, again, isn't an exact science. It's a formula to help describe how full the school might be. And basically how the capacity rating of 58.8% comes about is taking the number of classrooms, official classrooms within the building, which is 10, basing it on an average class size if you were to take into account maximum class sizes, so it's at 24, to give a maximum student enrollment of 240, and simply dividing the enrollment by that 240. So that's how we get the 58.8%. They say that a rough way to interpret functional capacity is if it falls between 80 and 100%, then the school is quite full. If it falls between 60 and 80%, then it's somewhat optimal. And if it falls below 60%, then one would say that there's some extra space available. The quality of education programs and services, and this is just an opportunity to talk about how we look with respect to staff. There's a provincial formula when it comes to staffing the school with teachers. FTE stands for full-time equivalent. And basically, the formula for classroom teachers at the elementary level is 1.1 for every classroom. So you can see here we have 8 classrooms in place. 8 times 1.1 gives 8.8 FTE. That allows for 8 teachers to be in front of 8 classes, and another 0.8 to take care of things like phys ed and music and any specialties. The principal has the autonomy to decide how that 0.8 works. It might be that the classroom teachers say, you know what, we're all pretty good with music, and we don't like to put our sneakers on, let's invest all of that 0.8 into phys ed, and we'll take care of the music within our classroom setting. So the principal can work that out with her staff. There's 0.5 FTE that goes to administration. That comes from the formula of enrollment divided by 275. There's 0.4 FTE, and the number in brackets, by the way, is the value of FTE that is a result of the formula if we were to use it exactly. The FTE for guidance, which is enrollment divided by 502, turns out to be 0.28, and we staff for 0.4 FTE when it comes to guidance. You'll see that we sometimes go a little bit up or a little bit down and try to find a balancing act as a lot. 0.4 guidance here, 0.3 guidance next door at Bath Middle, and 0.3 guidance down the point of direction down the road in Bristol. The formula for resource is enrollment divided by 180. And that's, we currently have one full-time resource teacher. So it's 10.7 FTE as teaching staff here in the school. And that includes the principal. We'd like to talk about student-teacher ratio, and it comes out to 3.2 students to one teacher. For Bath Elementary, we try and show some comparisons. I take our neighborhood schools here in Florenceville and Bristol to show some similar comparisons. Took a bigger school, Townsview, as an example, that shows a teacher-to-student ratio of 14.4 to 1. I'd like to talk a little bit about how the where students go how they move about. So our grade 8 students from Bath Middle School feed into the Carleton North High School for grade 9. Carleton North accepts students from Bath Middle as well as Florenceville Middle School and Centerville Community School as well. Grade 5 students from Bath Elementary, this school, will enter Bath Middle School for the prime programs beginning in grade 6. If a student from Bath Elementary wants to take French immersion, if they want to enroll in the late immersion program, they would go up to Florenceville Middle. If they want to enroll in the early immersion program, beginning in grade 3, they would go down to Florenceville Elementary School. This is a history of student-to-teacher ratio. Pretty stable, you can see, and of course our enrollments stayed the same. We see a little bit of a change from 4 years ago, before we moved to a school-based guidance counselor model. Prior to amalgamation, guidance was provided through itinerant support, a travel guidance counselor. The teachers' collective agreement is a contract that's negotiated between the New Brunswick Teachers Federation and the province of New Brunswick. And within that agreement, there is an understanding on what the maximum class sizes will be for different grade levels. So when we look at grades of kindergarten, grade 1 and 2, the maximum class size is 21. In grade 3, it's 26. Grades 4 to 5, it's 28. Actually, grade 6 is 28 as well. In grade 7 to 12, for your interest, is 29. Sometimes we need to staff a combined class scenario. If there are classes that have students in grades K, 1, or 2, excuse me, K, 1, or 2, so a 2-3 combined class being the furthest example, the maximum class size would be 16. If there are classes that include grades 3, 4, or 5, the maximum class size is 23. These are the actual class sizes that we have here at Bath Elementary. The average class size is about 17.6. So we see the biggest class, the grade 3s, 24. And see how the K1 has 15. The max, that K1 class couldn't go any higher than 16. If you look at the fact that we have two grade 5s, both at 16, some might say, oh, well, why can't you just combine them and have a teaching class of 32? And the answer is because the collective agreement would say the maximum class size in grade 5 is 28. It can really throw a wrench in the spokes when we have to adjust FTE midway through the year because of a student or more than one student moving in and the need to reconfigure or add FTE. These are some class sizes at Forestville Elementary School. So we can see what they have as well. Average class size is 19.1. The class size Bridgetown soon. Does that look all right? Of course, you remember, you have a chance to see this on our website as well. Average class size in Townsville, 18.8. And the largest class is a size of 22. Sorry, 24. There's other valued staff here at Bath Elementary. There are four educational assistants, an administrative assistant who works 36 and a quarter hours a week, a library assistant who works 6.5 hours a week, and a couple of custodians, one who works 40 hours per week. I think I heard her referred to as an angel a little bit earlier today. And a custodian who has the part-time hours at 8 hours per week. As I mentioned earlier, the Prime program is offered. Students who wish to take French immersion can do so at Florenceville Middle School if they enroll in the late immersion program, which begins in grade 6. If they want to start in grade 3, they can go to Florenceville Elementary School. And it is noted that in our province, everybody is exposed to some level of French, and this is in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. It wasn't the same when you or I went to school, but in grade 5, you've probably heard of intensive French, where for half of the year, 70% of the instruction is conducted in French. And to get ready for that, there's a pre-intensive French program for 200 minutes per week in grade 4, with the intensive French in grade 5. And for those who decide not to go into late immersion, they can continue on with French instruction again at 200 minutes per week in grades 6, 7, and 8 as post-intensive French. And then in grades 9 and 10, there's a one semester course of 90 hours of instruction for the semester. We also have an EST literacy. That's the formal name. Basically, it's a literacy league who offers support as a part of a cluster of 6 schools. There's an EST numeracy teacher. The numeracy support comes upon request. We only have 11 numeracy students spread throughout our entire Angle West district, whereas we have 39 numeracy leads. I mentioned earlier we have a full-time resource teacher here at Bath Elementary, covered by a teacher here on staff. And guidance is a shared position. The guidance counselor works 0.4 here and 0.3 at each. So, of course, when we're conducting a sustainability study, we need to talk about the what-ifs, and we have to put them on the table. In fact, the what-if is what led us to expanding the scope of the study. And with Florenceville Middle School, as the receiving school for French immersion students entering grade 6, this could be one choice, should the decision be made to relocate students from that middle school to Florenceville Middle School. And we know that there is capacity for this move. Another consideration, and I made mention of this earlier, would be the creation of a K-8 school in Bath by joining the middle and the elementary schools together. And there seems to be a consensus that this would best be served in the middle school. Not everybody might agree with that. And I'll talk a little bit later about the looks, about the floor plans and that type of thing. When it comes to the distribution of FTEs, using this year's numbers and making some projections to next year, if the middle school students in Bath were in a K-8 setting, we would expect 3 middle level prime classes. If we were to look at the middle level students going down to Florenceville Middle, there would be a need for 6 middle level prime classes. Of course, there is an impact with teachers. They need to move into a different setting. If there was a closure, we would count on teamwork, and then we need to take into students participating in the Tell Them From Me survey. And those results are public, by the way. They're accessible on the provincial education website. There are student input into engagement activities, some lunchtime helpers, grade 5 leadership. You can see some other examples here as well. Student readers for special events in French reading aloud. Policy 409 recommends that we talk a little bit about provincial assessments as well. This is at the elementary level, there's a grade 2 reading assessment, and we can see the history of results here at that elementary. We're really focused on using not only provincial results, but classroom assessment to count on teachers using results to help inform their instruction and help them make their plans to always think about how can we improve, how can we make learning better for our students. There's a grade 4 reading that's no longer a part of it. By the way, the entire provincial assessment program is changing. We're in the last year of a lot of assessments, and we'll be starting some new assessments. It's a whole new provincial assessment program. One thing that hasn't changed is the grade 9 proficiency assessment, the grade 9 English language arts proficiency assessment, which is a graduation requirement. And then grade 5 math, that's no longer in existence as well. That'll move to grade 6. If I remember correctly, looking around the room for someone to nod their head. That's it. I think that's right, isn't it, Jay and Catherine, that provincial assessment? I know it's Diane that usually nods her head, but I think it's moving to grade 6 and grade 10, if I remember correctly.
Nodding.
And nodding and bob, correct. Perception data, student perception data, another opportunity for student voice. Excuse me. 93% of students here report they feel accepted and valued by peers and others in the building, and they're contributing to a positive sense of belonging. 85% of students feel that they have friends at the school that they trust and will encourage them to make positive choices. And of course, that contributes to an overall positive relationship. 91% of our students report that they are interested and motivated in their learning. 100% of the students report they're trying hard to succeed in their learning. That's a great statistic. And 89% of students report that they feel safe attending their school. Some definite school benefits here at the school. There's a strong knowledge of individual students, as well as their strengths and their needs. When we have 140 students, it's a little bit easier for our staff to smaller class settings. We saw an average of 17 point something as an average class size. And a culture of collaboration is established among staff. Some challenges, of course, as in any case, we have staff that are in positions of responsibility that are required to teach. So we saw earlier that Lisa, as the principal, has 0.5 of her time for admin, 0.5 of her time as the gym teacher. So she puts on her sneakers and spends time with the students. And of course, there are positives and negatives to that. The positives are an opportunity for Lisa to engage at a different level with her students and get to know them better and still enjoy the teaching part of her job. But on the other hand, being a school principal is extremely busy. And we have to focus on planning and instruction. Takes away from your time as an administrator. And I used as an example lack of ability to consistently provide instruction by subject experts. I use music and phys ed as an example. Here's a section on health and safety or building assessment. And I'll read through some of this about vocabulary, and you'll think I'm really, really smart when I use use fancy words, and I sort of know about it, but I might call on Sean if we need to clarify anything. But the school was constructed in 1967, and there have been some renovations in recent years. A new boiler was installed 4.5 years ago, and there was some work this past summer, in fact, with new windows and the exterior cladding replacement. And so some exterior work, in particular with the windows, to help improve the school. Here's your floor plan. So this is the main floor. You can see the gym and the bathrooms and then the office area and the classrooms. Of course, there's the second floor. So it's a two-story building that with two straight hallways and classrooms on each level. And the school was originally constructed with 12 classrooms. There are 8 classrooms that are being used for classroom teaching. One is being used for literacy, and 2 are being used for literacy, one primary and elementary. And one classroom is being used for the daily preschool and 3-year-old program in the mornings in particular. And then one classroom converted into office space. The stairwells, they are enclosed and they meet to meet the fire separation requirements, complete with fire-rated doors, frames, and hardware. Lisa's really happy that the doors are yellow. She made an mention of that today. Falls in line with the bees. It's all about the bees. Corridor walls are plastered. The building is equipped with a fire shield fire alarm system. There are fire extinguishers that are located throughout the building. Fire alarm pull stations are located in the corridors. The water is supplied by the municipality as a backflow prevention that's installed. There's a water softener connected into the water supply. The hot water is heated with a giant cascade 100-gallon hot water heater. School is heated by an oil-fired Dietrich boiler that was installed in 2010. Everybody made mention of the boiler in 2010. And the school, the heating is controlled by the school. I know some people might say, well, how else would it be controlled? And there's actually some cases where there's it's controlled outside of the school setting. The building has no mechanical ventilation except for exhaust fans in the washroom. And the installation of a ventilation system is identified on the capital improvement project list. The building has individual pneumatic thermostats in every classroom, and the pneumatics are in good condition. The building has a propane compact 3200 series EA system. So communication from the office to the classrooms in place. Electrical and lighting, there's a 400 amp, 120 by 240 volt entrance through an overhead connection. There's an electrical distribution upgrade that's been identified as a capital improvement project, and the interior lighting is fluorescent and in good condition. Here within the interior, the washrooms have the original urinals in place. The sinks, the original sinks, they're in good condition. Washroom upgrade, though, is listed on the capital improvement project list. The floors are tile and in the classrooms with terrazzo flooring in the halls and washrooms. Flooring upgrades, again, are on the capital improvement project list. The interior doors are fire-rated wood doors. There is no lift or elevator in the building, and that again is on the capital improvement project list for considerations for the future. Yeah, it's coming up in the slide ahead. It totals 1.08 million. For the capital improvement projects, yeah, those numbers generally aren't made public because of the tendering process. capital investments in recent years and the costs associated with those investments. And then here is a summary of the projects that are on the capital improvement list that our facility staff maintains. So we mentioned the doors, site improvement for paving, we mentioned elevator or lift for accessibility, we mentioned upgrades to the washrooms, and tile flooring. Looking at electrical upgrades for the panels, replacing some piping in the boiler room, and then the installation of the ventilation system would be the big ticket item that would take it up over $1 million. Transportation, we'll see some similarities here from the presentation that I did in December. Of course, currently students in grades 9 and 12 that reside in the Bath School's catchment area are bused to Carleton North High School for their high school years. Any French immersion students in grades 3 to 8 are bused from Bath Middle and Bath Elementary School's catchment area to Florenceville Middle and Florenceville Elementary Schools. And then the morning bus system currently sees 7 buses transport students within the Bath catchment area into Bath Middle School and Bath Elementary. And it's here that the grade 9 students transfer onto three buses that make their way to Carleton North High School. The afternoon bus run system, it has 5 school buses that take K-8 students home from Bath Elementary and Bath Middle. There would not be any impact with regards to the number of school buses or drivers if it was to become a K-8 school. Now this data it's actually a repeat of the Bath Middle School scenario, and it's because when you look at the options for Bath Elementary, right now it's not on the radar of council to move Bath Elementary students to Bristol or to Florenceville. Right now, the scope has been open to consider the K-8 scenario. So this is just a transportation reminder. The average distance for middle school kids to Bath Middle School would be 7.5 kilometers. That doesn't change if it is a K-8 school. It wouldn't change to an average distance of 15.8 kilometers if they were to go to middle school. And then we have the maximum distance for each and the minimum distance as well. Those of you who are watching the slide numbers, there are 78 slides, I think. Number 60. Yeah. Not that I think anybody is watching. Yeah. Here's a good picture of the Bath catchment area. And I remember in my first year superintendent in the Angle West District, I was fortunate enough to have some people show me around and have driven a lot of these roads to visit a lot of farms too. It was a great experience for me to get to know some of these areas. So this is the map, and you're probably familiar with all of these roads. Pick out your house. The money. We can talk about finances. So salaries. By the way, Angle West has a budget of about close to $210 million, just under $210 million, with 87% of that budget going to salaries. Now you can see here a 3-year history of salaries. There's a cost associated with having a principal. A principal gets paid as a teacher and then has a responsibility allowance added to her salary based on the size of her school and in the number of years she's been a principal. The teacher salaries are covered by a collective agreement, and those salaries vary based on your years of experience. And there's 11 steps from year Likewise, we have a three-year history of assigned budgets. When it comes to assigning budgets to our 75 schools, there are a series of formulas that Sean and the budgeting account manager work through. Sometimes it's topped up a little bit. We've made a real effort to try and lessen the impact of school budgets. As we know, our province is in a tough spot when it comes to finances, and when we get the money assigned to the district, we do our best to ensure that the schools have what they need. Unfortunately, it can't be what they want, because we would like to see more money go towards schools. We have put in place a revenue sharing model where revenue that is earned by the school district, and we earn revenue in three main ways. First of all, through cafeteria sales. Secondly, through facility rentals. And thirdly, probably the biggest source of revenue is through tuition paid by international students. And we've designed a revenue sharing model that allows schools to get some extra money in a carry forward budget, which means they can save up for a few years as opposed to a global budget where they have to have all the money spent by March 31st. Here's a three-year history of facility costs. There's costs associated with electricity, water and sewer, garbage removal, heating fuel, cleaning supplies, minor repairs. So these are the total costs when it comes to budgeting for that elementary school in three-year history. Economic development. These are some slides where after I was done the presentation last year, of course you know about it more than me, and you're wondering how did you come up with that. So this time I had Jay talk to some community stakeholders to make sure we get it right, and I hope we have it right. And I'm sure people will tell me again. The consultations, and again I mean a number of people, because there's a lot of carryover from the work that I did that we did in December, so you'll see some familiar names. I know Jay has gone back to at least one of these individuals to collect more information and to verify. Some things that have closed. The hospital, gas station, flower shop, some relocation of businesses to Florenceville. Some existing businesses and organizations. Lions Villa and Greco, some bakery, some doctors, some dental offices. Step ahead, that family learning center. The family and early childhood West offices. Banks. Convenience stores, grocery stores, diners, apartments. So you're probably recognizing these organizations and businesses that make up your community. We finally figured out what a mom board is. Some of the economic development, and again, this will be familiar from the last presentation. The closing of the hospital had an impact on the community. partner if the students went to Florence Middle School. This is kept in just to keep the context of the study in the two choices if the deaf were to go in favor of opposing one school. One particular business owner said that he at one time employed 32 people and it's now having half, concerned about the viability of his business if the school were to close. One individual spoke about the possibility of redeveloping the former hospital into a senior care facility, potential employment of 40 or 50 people, suggested a possible subdivision in the existing hospital lot. So these are statements that have come from the community. A possibility of three other businesses to be announced by businessmen and partners in the future. Concern that if there is a school closure, that these redevelopment plans could be in jeopardy. And I know that Mr. James not only back middle school, which was busy tonight, the gymnasium was busy tonight, but this facility is used after hours. We'll get to questions and answers in a minute. I know that you may have some. I want to add a few extra things. And first of all, I'd like to acknowledge, as I said I would, we came in, you're a member of the Legislative Assembly, right out of the House. Ringer insisted that you were there until closing time, I think, but you made it back. So Andrew Harvey is here tonight as well. And Andrew, if you'd like to say a word, you're welcome to once we get into that part of the agenda. One of the things that I really need to point out is the sustainability study website that we have created, and there's one for each of the three sustainability studies. And on that website, we post all of the public documentation. So every time I send a letter home, anytime there's a presentation like this, anytime there's a report that I generate for the deck that should be out there publicly, then we post it. And it's good for you to, if you want to be a part and learn more about the study, it's good to go through those documents. And they will be a big part of the final report that's generated for the District Education Council when they get into really rolling over all of the ideas and all the things that have been presented to try and make an informed decision. There's also a discussion board. I try to check in on it once or twice a week. And if there's a, maybe there's a question, maybe there's a comment. If it's a question that's specifically asked, I'll try and answer the question. I try and scan through it, so if you find that I haven't answered a question that you specifically asked, then don't hesitate to email Carol or email me to say you've missed one, and I'll go back to it. I try my best to keep up to tabs on the discussion board. So I encourage people to use that website. One of the documents that was posted to the website in the last week or two was a financial comparison document. And I know one of the big questions raised was $10,000. What do you mean, David, $10,000 for renovations if the elementary school were to go next door? And I want you to understand that that is an extremely rough estimate for immediate changes that would have to happen if we were to make the move right away. I understand that over longer term, there will be more costs associated with that. My guess is the council will ask me to look into that in depth, if that's one of the considerations. And I know that the K-8 concept is a consideration, so the $10,000 is a result of the facilities manager and I laying out the floor plans and looking at the number of classrooms available and what it would cost if you had to put up a wall here to subdivide a room into So I want you to rest assured that I understand the cost of a more in-depth renovation to Bath Middle School, if it were indeed to become a K-8 school, would be more. And we're prepared to look at that in more detail. Naturally, I'd like to engage the principals in that, and engage Sean, Tracy, and Philip Click, our facilities manager, in those conversations. So I want to assure people that that I want to provide that background. And I know it's been asked publicly on the site, it's been asked to me here in the hallway tonight, it's been asked by the staff. I met with the staff, by the way, after school today, for probably about half an hour or so, and I said, so what are the things that you think would have to happen to sort of, and they gave me some great input, about stairwells and banisters, and about bathrooms, and about exits and that kind of stuff. So they gave me some great information that I can take back to the principals and to Sean and to Philip as the facilities manager, and we can get a more detailed estimate on that. The $10,000 was for the purpose of if there was an absolute need to pick up 8 classrooms and move them next door, what would have to happen overnight for that to be in place. The rest of that report shows some comparisons, some what-ifs, when it comes to staffing for all different positions, and some savings with respect to facilities and school budgets. Capital avoidance, different people would have different interpretations on what that might mean for savings. I put it there, and I don't include it in an annual savings because it would be a one-time avoidance of costs. Does that mean that $1.08 million would be saved if we closed that elementary? And some would say, well, that cost would be avoided, and you take all of those projects off the capital improvement list. But if the parking lot doesn't get paved in the next 5 or 10 years, probably isn't going to impact the education students. If a lift isn't installed in the school and a student that's in a wheelchair arrives, then that's an issue. So I wanted to present some clarification on that. Getting back to feedback, of course, on March 26th, there's a great opportunity for stakeholders and PSSCs and individuals to provide feedback in a public format just like this. It won't be me talking with a 78-page PowerPoint, it'll be you with the 78-page PowerPoint, or whatever you decide. We've experienced one already at Coles Island. It was good. There were presentations. Some were 5 or 10 minutes in length. Others put all sorts of groups together to make one lengthy presentation. I know we had an agenda set for Stanley where there are 8 presentations that vary from 10 to 20 minutes in length. So it can be individuals, it can be parent groups, it can be community organizations, it can be anybody. And there is a process to register, and we ask that all registrations be in at least 1 week prior. So that we'll ask for registrations to be in by March 26th, yes, by March 19th. again, if you go to the website, you'll see a very simple form where you fill in your name, your phone number, your email, the amount of time that you'd like, and if you require some technology. If you're not the type that wants to present publicly, if you're not the type that would like to post something publicly on the website in the discussion board, by all means, please email us. You can email a sustainability email address that we created, ASBW. Carol, by the way. And some people just email Carol, carolclarkcaterini@gmb.ca. And some people have chosen to write to Carol and say, will you please forward this to the deck? And that's what she does. The person from the community will send it to Carol or send it to me and say, I really want the deck to know this. And then you just hit forward and the deck reads your email and it becomes a part of the final report. If you'd like to mail us something, we still get mail at our office. I mentioned already that there are a number of documents, including the letter that launched the study when we wrote to the minister. As for the policy, there's a link to the policy. The presentation of meeting number one is there from that middle. This presentation will go up as well. This is being recorded, right, Carol?
It is.
And the light is still on, and it's still being recorded, so if you'd like to tell your friends about listening to this, or you'd like to listen to it again, it'll be posted to our website as well as the BAP middle school meeting. So lots of opportunity for public engagement. So I want to thank you very much for coming. That'll end my formal presentation. I will allow for some questions that you might have. If they're technical in nature, I'll try and answer them. If there are, governance types of questions, you can direct them to the chair. He's happy to answer. Mr. Harvey, I don't know if you would like to take an opportunity to say hello tonight. It would be a common practice for the MLA to say hello.
I'll scoot right here. No, I just want to thank Mr. McTiffany, I have Tommy Dave, but
yeah, that's
and
okay.
The board. Welcome to Combat, obviously been here before, but it's a great community, and we have a lot of great parents and stakeholders here tonight. But I just want to mention, too, that since we started this in October, we have met with principals and staff and been involved with the PSSC committee in the middle school now. And there's a lot of shared concerns, obviously, in this community. But one of the things I keep telling people is work through the process. Keep working through the process. That's why we have a process for sustainability studies. So, and at the end of the process, by working together, I think we'll come up with a solution. Because I think moving forward, I think there is a solution. And I don't want to prejudge what that solution may be, but I think the H2 to K8 to grade 8 concept in Bath is very viable, very doable, and maintain the presence in Bath, obviously, on the school and community H2 and grade 8. So I think that's very important in a community like Bath. Bath, and we can talk about Center, we can talk about Florence Bristol. Those other communities that have their school spirit and school identity and all these types of things that are very crucial to communities like Bath and the surrounding areas. So those are the things that we need to look at. Obviously, there's benefits here in Bath's location. It's a safe location. We have a step aid program. And there's other benefits. But I just want to add the economic renewal that's hopefully going to happen back over the next few years. It's hard to put your finger on some of that, but one thing is sure, the school location here, the school presence is a big part of it. So I just want to touch on that, and I think by doing this process, what triggered maybe all this is, cost per student, overhead cost, and those types of things. By going through the process, I think we will probably achieve where we need to be in terms of provincial standards. So, anyway, I just think it's important to go through the process, respect the process, So I'll be here, obviously, and anybody who wants to talk to me individually at any time, feel free. My number is 392-1911, and it's in the phone book too, at my five. But just seriously, call me, but work through your committees, work through your PSSCs, and work with your principals and your staff.
Closing one school. school, there's going to be savings there, but there are some costs associated with that to get up and running in a proper way. So we would be asking the Department of Education for financial support to help us get there. We would have on an annual basis in a global budget, you don't get money for that type of thing. So there has to be some kind of cooperation. When I talked a little bit earlier about our revenue that we earn, that's where we go to in emergencies. It wouldn't be our intent to dip into that unless there was an actual emergency. But if there was something that were to be needed right away, then it's accessible to us. So the quick answer to your question is I don't know yet the exact cost. It's something that we need to determine. We'll never get an exact cost.
No.
Because I think about the renovations I did to my kitchen and I had a budget, and the exact costs were much, much more. And I hope that wouldn't be the case here. But we would do our best to try and get a very realistic cost of what we think it would be. We would engage in conversations with the provincial government, with the Department of Education and our childhood development, and then make a plan to improve the facility if it were to become a KDP.
Will that be available to us before we have to make our presentation?
Will it be available to you before we have to make the presentation? I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to try. I guess that's the best answer I could give. The 10,000, oh, sorry that I put it on that report. And I can truly tell you how it happened. And you can believe me if you want, but I'm going to tell you the truth. The facilities manager and I sat down one evening, we were both in the office, and we pulled out those floor plans, and I said, Philip, what would happen if we took those 8 classrooms over and we put them in here? And he said, well, we have to do this, and the cost to build a wall is $100 per foot, and they're 25-foot classrooms, and we have to do this, this, and this. So that's how we got the 10,000. And, you know, as I said to the staff earlier today, if something were to tragically happen to this building tomorrow, and we needed our kids to get back to class as soon as possible, they could go over next door and it could work. But as the staff pointed out, you know, there are things that we need to change. The railings going up the stairs, we need to change. Right now there are bathrooms on the bottom floor and the top floor. That would have to change. The playground equipment, would you keep it over there? Would you keep it over there, or would you move it over there, or how? So those types of things need to be looked at. And I'm sure that Sean and Philip and Jay and I and Gerald and Lisa will get together and we'll put together ideas of what would need to happen and present it. And on March 26th, you guys can come up with 5 other things. And that's very possible. But I guess that's a long answer of saying we're going to do our best to try and get that information in the time of hand.
It doesn't have to be exact.
It doesn't have to be exact.
You do need to know what you're going to invest in order to make it feasible.
I would agree.
And I guess my other question would be, if this happens, is this going to happen in fiscal year, like in the next school year?
And that's a great question. So here's what could happen. The timeline for next year would be for the district education council makes a decision before the end of April, then feasibly it could happen for next year. And that is because the minister has to approve a motion or a vote of closure. And the minister can't make that approval in any less than 30 days or any more than 60 days. So if on April 23rd, the council says, we vote to close Bath Middle School and move the kids to Lawrenceville, or we vote to close Bath Elementary and move the kids to Bath Middle School, then we write to the minister right away, and no sooner than May 23rd will the minister give his ruling. So it's not official until then. Now, we talked a little bit about this before our meeting tonight, and the minister will make his decision based on procedural fairness. So the way it's supposed to happen is the minister doesn't make a gut reaction, or it's not supposed to be it's not supposed to be a political decision. It's supposed to be that the minister examines our process, he looks at our report, and he checks to see if we conducted a fair study. And if the study is fair, then the minister is supposed to say, good to go. If our study is not fair, or if he finds that there is some kind of procedural fault in procedural fairness, then he can say, no, sorry, we're not going to follow your recommendation. So it's not official until he rules. We as a DEC, I as the superintendent, the staff I work with, believe that we are doing this the right way. So we have confidence in our procedural fairness. So once that vote happens on the 23rd, if there is a vote for closure, then we'll probably start to plan as if it's going to be closure, but it won't be formal until May 23rd. Does that answer your question as well? Answer it.
Evening. I don't want to shake your confidence in procedure, but having a little bit of back history and experience on boards, school boards, and hospital boards, I'll share some of my experience. And you know, a little bad or indifferent on a school board. Now, I've been in a meeting similar to this. decide where we're going to build the new hospital that was, you know, serve the whole valley, the region. And it wasn't where it was built. But I think we're at one of those watershed moments right now in North Carlton, where we're all facing in all of our catchment area here, declining. We have declining enrollment in all of our schools in North Carlton, not just in Bath. And we all feed into that North Carlton High School. And I think, my opinion, I've expressed it, as you know, on your site, is that this is not a Bath issue only. It should be a North Carlton issue. It should be a North Carlton decision. If we make a decision on one of these two schools, or moving our students to what we call our schools, we're making a decision by looking at half of the schools in the North Carlton area, really half the schools. We're trying to make a decision, a good decision, with only half the schools in the equation. And that doesn't make any sense to me. I think we need to take more time. I think we need to look at the interests that each of the communities has, and their distinct communities. Even if we were all a regional municipality, we still are distinct communities. Bath, Florence and Bristol, et cetera. And that's important. And you know from our concerns about tax base. Because at some point, you know, we in Centerville and Bath could end up with no schools if we don't look at the whole project now. So I encourage you, at least, you know, to the extent that we have confidence in the process, to look at all of the schools, not the high school, obviously. We're all supporting the high school now. We're all feeding into that. But to look at all of the schools in terms of enrollment, in terms of facility of condition. We wouldn't want to wake up after we made this decision to find out, or to move, you know, to Florenceville, if that happened to be your decision, to find out that, gee, the school we just moved into has to spend $2 or $3 million in upgrades. And I did point out on the site that, as I was told, that in order for Centerville to create their K-8 model, they spent $2 million on upgrades. We're talking about $10,000. So I don't want to criticize your $10,000 anymore. I don't want to criticize anything anymore. I just want to say, I think this is a North Carlton issue of enrollment, and we need to look at it in that light, not just that. Thank you.
Any others? Getting late, so we're on the way to a long time.
And I think it's worth knowing that what Mr. McNair just did there is a perfect example of the type of things we need to hear from in public meeting number two. So if you have ideas that you want to share, if you have a philosophy or a thought, then organize your talks and register for that public meeting number two, because I know these guys want to get them.
Good evening. Thank you for coming. My name is Mike Blanchard, and I'm an insurance broker in the village, and I'm involved in the community on various committees. And I guess thinking about how we could maintain both schools came to my mind today. And, the cost of building a brand new school is exorbitant, I understand that. But why could we not just join the schools with a cafeteria and hallway? We have a perfectly good elevator system in the other school. We have all the systems with the lower handrails in this school. And combined just a thought that I thought I'd throw out there for some consideration. Maybe it's not worthy of the idea, but I think we should look at all the options. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you go back to the three choices that the District Education Council has, an example such as that would be option number two, to make a recommendation to the minister that he invest in significant infrastructure or program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we've already started hearing ideas, and hopefully you'll bring those ideas to our next meeting, and you'll have access to the technology.